visa to a research program where the goal is to find a quantum theory of all fundamental degrees of freedom of our universe. And I will present the basic conceptual ideas and some new results, and I'll necessarily be rather sketchy in most of the things that I will say. So the goal is to write down a quantum field theory of gravity and matter, and I will focus on the path integral framework here. So what we would like to do is to write down this path integral over all metric configurations and over all matter fields. So phi is a placeholder for fermions, bosons, gauge fields, essentially everything that we have in the standard model. And for the rest of the talk, I will actually focus on the Euclidean version of that. And then, of course, doing this whole path integral over all these quantum fluctuations at all scales seems like a rather daunting task. So as a first step, let us focus maybe on the path integral of only those low-energy quantum fluctuations. So we'll introduce a momentum scale k, and we will only consider those quantum fluctuations which have momenta smaller than that scale. So we are, in a first step, not including all the high-energy quantum fluctuations, but really just looking at low-energy effective degrees of freedom. And then, of course, there will be some dynamics captured by the defective action gamma k, which gives the effective dynamics for those low-energy effective degrees of freedom. And if I change that scale, if I integrate out further quantum fluctuations, the effect, of course, will be to generate new operators, essentially very similar to what Sebastian has been seeing in his talk as well. And so the way to capture that is that the couplings that parameterize the effective dynamics become scale-dependent or running couplings. So the question is, well, what is the status of this object of this path integral? Well, this actually works very well as an effective theory. So as long as I restrict myself to low momenta, as long as I don't take my cutoff all the way to infinity, then I can perfectly well use this in the effective field theory framework, extract predictions from that. And here the spirit is very similar to uses of effective field theories in other areas of physics. So as long as I'm not asking questions about the most microscopic scales, I don't really need to know what the microscopic degrees of freedom are. I can just use some large-scale effective degrees of freedom. But of course, the goal here really is to go a step further and get a fundamental theory. And by fundamental theory, I mean one which is valid on all scales and which would really give us a physical explanation of the microscopic structure of space-time and matter. And of course, there's a variety of ideas around how we actually can get such a fundamental theory. So as we are also hearing during these two quantum gravity days, there are suggestions that say, for example, that maybe we have to leave that continuum quantum field theory setting and go to some form of discrete setting. Or maybe the degrees of freedom that we are using are not enough. Maybe we need to introduce new unobserved degrees of freedom, for example, superpartners for the fields that we have been using, or some degrees of freedom which form composite bound states or something like that. Or maybe the symmetries that we are using in our approach are not fundamental symmetries, and really at the microscopic scale, we need to break them. Well, so the asymptotic safety program is really very, very conservative in that sense that it doesn't do any of these things, but it stays within the very well-tested local continuum quantum field theory framework. So it just writes down, allows us to write down a standard quantum field theory of the metric and matter. Now, of course, in view of the perturbative non-renormalizability of quantum gravity, you might ask, well, how is this actually possible to just to write down a standard quantum field theory? I thought this was not possible. Well, here's the main idea. So if we want to write down a fundamental quantum field theory, this means that it has to be possible to take our cutoff scale for our effective theory to infinity, and the theory should still make sense. So in particular, this means that any physical observable that we extract, something like a scattering cross-section, for example, should stay finite as we take k going to infinity. And of course, when you want something like a scattering cross-section to be finite, you can translate that into the requirement that appropriately defined couplings should stay finite as I take that limit k going to infinity. Now, of course, usually what happens when I change that cutoff scale and integrate out further degrees of freedom, those couplings are running scale-dependent couplings, so they will change under that under the change of scale, and for example, they could run into divergences. So in order for the theory to be fundamental, I need to require, or a simple way to realize this is that I require that the theory approaches a scale-free regime. So then integrating out further degrees of freedom doesn't really change anything in the effective dynamics. And scale-free means that in the space of all couplings, which is shown here on the right, in this what is called theory space, I have a fixed point of the renormalization group. And so such a fixed point is something where the effect of dynamics on such a trajectory labeled by a momentum scale k will then approach that fixed point at high momenta, where all the couplings simply approach finite asymptotic values. And in that way, I can define a fundamental theory. Now, of course, a very simple example of that is asymptotic freedom, which is realized, for example, in QCD, so where the coupling simply approach a vanishing value. So more generally, the coupling can simply approach some finite value, and this also gives me a fundamental theory. Now, let me briefly address this question. Here we are working in the space of all couplings that are compatible with the symmetries, so this is an infinite dimensional space. So at a first glance, you could think, well, it seems like we could have an infinite number of free parameters, and how do we actually get a predictive theory out of it? Well, the main point is that such a fixed point comes with what is called a critical surface. So this is this bluish surface around the fixed point. And when you're slightly off that critical surface at low energies, so the low energy values of the couplings are slightly off that critical surface, you will actually not hit the fixed point in the UV. Instead, you will be on this purple trajectory, which just runs off to infinity. The couplings will diverge at some scale, and you don't get a fundamental theory. So in order to hit the fixed point, you need to be within that critical surface. And that critical surface is typically finite dimensional. So what this means is that although I am in an infinite dimensional space, the free parameters I have are only as many as the dimensionality of that critical surface. And so I can get a predictive theory in that way. Okay, so that's the main idea of asymptotic safety. So as a first step, let's see what is the evidence for the realization of that scenario in the case of quantum gravity. So of course, what we really have to do to test this scenario is to look at this infinite dimensional theory space and search for that interacting fixed point. Now for practical calculations, this is of course really impossible to do. So what we do instead is that we look at typically finite dimensional slices through that theory space. So we don't include all possible couplings, we just include a subset. And of course, in the case of gravity, the first couplings that you would include would be the Newton coupling and the cosmological constant. And then on the left-hand side here, you can see a plot of the renormalization group flow in these two couplings, G and lambda. These little arrows are pointing towards the infrared, towards low energies. And the crucial point about that plot is that there is this interacting fixed point up there in the corner at finite values of G and lambda, which is UV attractive in both the Newton coupling and the cosmological constant. Now, a crucial difference of the asymptotic safety program to other approaches to quantum gravity is that the microscopic dynamics is not something that we somehow postulate or put in by hand. It's something that comes out of the theory as a prediction. So this is simply because when we are looking for such an interacting fixed point, there is no way how you can by hand decide what the coordinates of the fixed point should be. This is just something that the theory tells you. Either there is a fixed point or there isn't. And when there is one, then the coordinates of those of this fixed point, so the values of the couplings, this is just the prediction. There is no way to change that by hand. So what this means is that in this scenario, we can't just decide what operators we want and which ones we throw away. This is something that the theory will tell us. So what we really have to do is just take all possible operators, throw them at the theory, and find out whether an interacting fixed point exists when we take these operators into account. Now, to cut a really long story very, very short, there is now a lot of evidence from a variety of very many different truncations that this interacting fixed point that you see in the G lambda plane exists when we enlarge the space by all possible other couplings. Okay, so far for the pure gravity theory, the situation seems to be rather good. But as I told you in the beginning, what I'm really interested in is to find a microscopic theory of space-time that can be applied to our universe. And then the question is, does matter actually matter? So, of course, maybe you could think, well, let me just find out what a theory of quantum gravity is. And then at the end, I will add all the matter fields as some sort of decoration. And we'll just hope that they won't change my quantum theory of gravity too much. So within a renormalization group framework, if you think about this for a moment, it's not clear whether such a scenario could actually work. So the main point is that as soon as you have interactions between quantum fields, then quantum fluctuations of the one sector will contribute to the running of the couplings in the other sector and vice versa. And of course, there is no way how to have a matter field which will not couple to gravity because all matter clearly carries energy and momentum. What this means is that there is no way how you can find matter fields where matter field fluctuations will not contribute to the running in the gravitational sector. And therefore, the existence of something like this interacting fixed point could easily be endangered if you have matter fields. And on the other hand, also, this means that quantum gravity fluctuations can have an effect on the matter sector, and problems that exist in the standard model could potentially be solved by coupling it to quantum gravity. So let's look at the first question first. So what is the effect of matter on this gravitational fixed point? So I looked at this question in collaboration with Pietro Donna and Roberto Facacci, and we looked at a truncation which included an Einstein-Hilbert sector for the gravitational part and millicoupled matter fields. So let's just jump directly to the results. So here I'm showing you the plane which is spanned by the number of Dirac fermions, ND, and the number of scalars, NS. And we fix the number of vector degrees of freedom to 12. This is because this is the number that's important for the standard model. So we have one photon, a W plus, W minus, and Z, and eight gluons, gives me 12 vectors in total. Now, everywhere where you see such a grayish black dot is a point where the metric fluctuations and matter fluctuations together act to give you an interacting fixed point in G and lambda. So all of these points are points where the matter content that we've put in is compatible with the asymptotic safety scenario for quantum gravity. But you can clearly see that there is a huge region when we go to a larger number of matter fields, where matter fields actually destroy the gravitational fixed point and push it off to infinity or to somewhere in the complex plane. So the first message from this is that matter matters in quantum gravity. Now, there are, of course, particular matter models that we are interested in, such as the standard model. So the standard model has four scalars. One of them is the propagating Higgs, and then there are three would-be Goldstones that are eaten up by the Ws and Zs, so it makes four in total. And then the standard model consists of Weyl fermions, which essentially correspond to half a Dirac fermion, which is why we have 45 over 2 Dirac fermions. And if you look at that point, it's somewhere up there, well within the allowed region. So this means asymptotic safety within that truncation passes this important observational consistency test. It is compatible with standard model degrees of freedom as long as they're minimally coupled. Now, of course, there are some phenomenologically well-motivated extensions of the standard model, such as right-handed neutrinos or a dark matter scalar or an axion, and we can actually add all of these and still have a viable gravitational fixed point. Now, what I think is really exciting is that there are some models that are actually searched for experimentally, such as supersymmetric extensions of the standard model or grand unified theories, where we have a lot of scalar degrees of freedom and those actually destroy the fixed point. And I think this is really exciting for the following reason. So the common folklore is that when I want to test quantum gravity experimentally, I will have to build an accelerator that is essentially the size of our galaxy. And clearly, we will have to wait for very many generations for that to happen, and that's incredibly frustrating. Now, what I'm telling you here is that there might be a possibility to test quantum gravity at the LHC simply by looking for beyond standard model particle physics. So depending on the matter model that you could discover, it could actually rule out asymptotically safe quantum gravity at the LHC. Yes? So we are working on including gravitinos. So that's an open question.
The gravity looks like because you couldn't have more than 70 scalars, and there are 70 scalars.
Yeah. So here in the MSSM we are not including gravitinos. But when you include gravitinos, then the numbers could change. So it could be possible that a supergravity theory is compatible. Okay, so I would say so far the situation looks rather good for this question. Is quantum gravity compatible with the matter content of our universe? But of course, in this research program, where we want to construct a fundamental quantum field theory of really of all degrees of freedom, we also have to address open questions of the standard model. And one of those open questions is related to the measured value of the Higgs mass. So let me remind you that the Higgs potential has the form, it has a quadratic term, which has a negative coefficient and a quartic term, so it has this Mexican hat shape. Now, the Higgs for self-interaction is, of course, a running coupling. It gets renormalized when I'm integrating out quantum fluctuations. And the effect of bosonic fluctuations, for example, Higgs self-interactions, is to increase the value of that Higgs self-coupling towards the UV so that you could run into a Landau pole. On the other hand, fermionic fluctuations, for example, fluctuations of the top quark, actually decrease the value of the Higgs self-coupling towards the UV. So clearly, when top quark fluctuations are dominant, it could happen that at some UV cutoff scale, the Higgs self-coupling actually starts to become negative, and then you clearly have an unstable potential, and you would interpret that cutoff scale as the scale where the theory really breaks down and you need to introduce new degrees of freedom. So from that reasoning, you can actually deduce lower bounds on the Higgs mass. So by fixing your value of your UV cutoff scale, so the scale where new degrees of freedom should become important, and requiring that the Higgs self-coupling takes the minimal value that is allowed, namely zero, you can deduce a lower bound on the Higgs mass. And this is essentially what you can see in this plot. Now, it turns out if you do that for the full standard model and demand that cutoff scale to be equal to the Planck scale, then the lower bound on the Higgs mass turns out to be 129 GeV. And the experimental result, approximately 126 GeV, is really tantalizingly close to that. So it seems that there could possibly be a scenario where we can take the standard model, plus write it in neutrinos and some form of dark matter, extend that all the way to the Planck scale without any new degrees of freedom, then add quantum gravity, and we have a complete picture of all degrees of freedom of our universe. Now, of course, this doesn't quite work out because there's this gap of 3 GeV. So it seems that maybe we do need some new degrees of freedom before the Planck scale. Well, let me try to convince you that there might be a way around this conclusion. So the bounds on the Higgs mass are obtained from requiring that all higher order couplings, such as the Higgs to the 6 self-interaction, actually vanish at the UV cutoff scale. Now, these higher order operators are irrelevant operators, so this means that if you follow their renormalization group flow towards low energies, they actually automatically go to zero, which is why we don't usually include them in the standard model. What this means is that, on the other hand, it's easily compatible to have a non-vanishing Higgs to the 6 self-interaction at your UV cutoff scale, because it will quickly flow to zero, and at low energies, you will get the standard model back as you know it. But of course, as soon as you allow for such a Higgs to the 6 self-interaction, then the lower bound on the Higgs mass changes, because now you can easily have a negative Higgs to the 4 self-interaction, and the potential still is stable because you have this additional Higgs to the 6 term. And so this is essentially what you can see in this plot. This green curve is the mass, the Higgs mass that you obtain when you allow such higher order operators. So what's the connection to the first part of the talk and quantum gravity? Well, in general, you would expect that at the cutoff scale, where quantum gravity degrees of freedom become important, if you integrate them out, they will automatically generate all types of interactions in your meta theory. And in particular, in an asymptotic safety type scenario, where you have an interacting fixed point, you would expect such couplings to be non-zero automatically. And so I think the main message here is that a scenario where we have the standard model plus right-handed neutrinos, and then the gravity at the Planck scale, all of this going to an interacting fixed point, such a scenario is, from all that we know, consistent with all experimental results. So far there is no experimental result which seems to contradict that scenario. And so let me just finish by flashing my summary and thank you for your attention and apologize for going over time.